Commit our time to the Lord, please. In the word of prayer, eternal God and our Father, we commit this time to Thee. We just ask, O God, that You'll come and presence Thyself with us this evening. May we, Lord, know that Thou art here and that to bless us. Come, we pray, be one of our number this evening. And Lord, we pray, be very conscious that God is here. Hear and answer prayer. Be with us in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Hymn number 383 is our opening hymn tonight. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought Him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Come to the Lord again, please, in prayer, and seek His help and His presence with us. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight for that love of God that was seen in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that tonight God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for that great love, Lord, that drew salvation's plan. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the mighty gulf that God did span. O God, we thank Thee tonight that it was all because of that place called Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life and shed His precious blood that we might be saved. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll come, Lord, into our midst. Come, O God, we pray, be one of our number and pour out Your Spirit upon us, O God, we pray. May we be very conscious that God is here. Lord, we need Thee tonight. Come and breathe upon us tonight. Come and move amongst us this evening. O God, we pray that tonight we might know with assurance that God is here and that to bless us. O God, we pray that You'll speak, O God, far beyond the voice of any preacher. Speak, O God, tonight with that voice that wakes the dead. Lord, bring the lost to Thyself. Bring people, Lord, out of the darkness of sin and bring them into Thyself tonight, we pray. O God, we thank Thee tonight for the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that it is to the power of God unto salvation. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll stop sinners, Lord, in that mad career that leads to a lost eternity. Bring them to Thyself, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this evening there will be, Lord, found in this place believing souls. We ask, O God, that tonight You'll come, presence Thyself with us, Lord, even for each one that knows and loves Thee. We pray, Lord, that this will be a blessed night, a good night, Lord, in Thy house. Lord, as we sing Thy praise, as we remind ourselves of all that you've done for us. O God, we pray that we have much to rejoice our hearts in tonight. Come, O God, we pray, pour out your Spirit upon us. O God, move in this place tonight. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even as we gather, may, Lord, we know that thou art here and that to bless us. We ask, O God, that tonight you remember the going forth of thy word across our land and across our nation. We pray, Lord, tonight you'll bless all those who are faithful to thee and to the word of God. Encourage each one of thy servants tonight, Lord, wherever they are, in this land or in other lands. We pray that they might know the blessing of God. May they see fruit for their labors. O God, we pray. Remember all those who are faithfully serving thee. O God, we pray that you'll draw alongside, encourage them, and bless them in the ministry of the word of God tonight. We ask, O God, that you'll remember across onto the mainland and England and Scotland and Wales. Pray, Lord, that tonight you'll bless, Lord, there in the mainland. We pray, Lord, that those lands will move once again. And Lord, we pray that there will be that sound of abundance of rain. We pray, Lord, for down in the south as well at this time. Lord, bless all the labors there. We pray, Lord, you'll bless even the outreach, Lord, that has taken place. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the outreach that is planned as well, Lord, in a few weeks' time. Bless that gospel meeting as well. We just ask, O God, that they're into the darkness, Lord, of the Republic of Ireland, Lord, that many will be brought to Christ. But, O God, we remember our own land. We ask, O God, for our province tonight that's steeped, Lord, in so much apostasy and declension at this time. God, be merciful to us. Lord, we pray unto thee. Revive thy people in the midst of the years. Revive thy church, O God, we pray. Give us, Lord, a greater love and a passion after the things of God. And Lord, we pray that tonight, even across our land, Lord, we'll see the hand of God at work. We pray, Lord, you'll bless tonight. Remember Adam as he would preach today. Just encourage him and bless him. Be near to him. O God, we pray. Remember all of the students at this time. We thank thee for those who have been obedient, Lord, to the call of God. Encourage them in their studies and be near to them, O God, we pray. And Lord, that you'll be pleased to bless them. And Lord, make them soul winners, we pray. So be with us, we ask. Continue to be near to us. Remember those who cannot gather with us tonight, those who are unwell, either in home or in hospital tonight. Draw very near to each and to all. And Lord, that even tonight, Lord, that you'd be pleased to touch them and strengthen them and bring them back once again to the house of the Lord. So hear and answer prayer and be with us just now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Now, we were to have a singer tonight, but everybody has got something. I don't know what's going on at the minute, but everybody's down with something at the moment, so our singer is not able to come. So I thought that you would do the singing this evening. So if it's okay with the birthday girl, we'll maybe have a few favorites. So we'll get a few favorites from you, and we'll sing them. We'll sing them together. Anybody got a favorite? Yes, you'll have to use your hymn book. 95. Thank you, Dines. Well, we'll sing 95, and then you can think of another one. 95. Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We'll sing verse 1, 3, and 5. Verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5 of hymn number 95, please.
Sinners to reclaim.
another one? 722. 722. The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. The darkness falls at thy behest. To thee our morning hymns ascend, at thy praise shall sanctify our rest. Again, verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5. 722 to page 466, verses 1, 3, and 5. Good words in verse 5. Did you see them there? Thy kingdom stands and grows forever. You show that to your premillennial friends. God's kingdom is growing day by day, and praise God for that. Anyway, another one. Oh, boy, is it here. Mr. Graham, I heard you first. And who else did I hear over here? Anne and Jean. Oh, we'll be here all night. 3:3:1:1. Thank you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. 3:1:1, verse 1 and 3, and the chorus, please. 3:1:1.
Thank you.
yours, Jean?
Number 70.
And what was yours, Anne? 392. Okay, hymn number 70. Immortal honors, I think. Yeah, immortal honors rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. We'll sing verse 1, 3, and 4, please. Hymn number 70. And over to 392, 392. Blessed lily of the valley, oh how fair is he is mine, I am his. We'll sing verse 1 and 3, and the chorus is 392, and those up in the gallery, we're coming to you next, all right? So you get your favorites ready. 392, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
383. You like that one? Yeah. Good. We're going to sing it again then. 383. There'll never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. We'll sing again, first and last verse, please, and the chorus. Two hundred and eighty. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We'll sing verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5 of 280. In the Word of God just now to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 14, and we're going to read, let's just read down to verse 22, and we'll end there, John chapter 3, and the verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. We welcome you all tonight to our gospel meeting. We're glad to see you in the Savior's name. We pray the Lord will bless us as we come around his word this evening. To those as well who are watching online, we welcome you tonight. No Explorers Club this Tuesday evening, given the half-term break, so workers, you have a week off this Tuesday night. But our prayer meeting continues as normal on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock, and that is by way of a deputation meeting for Every Home Crusade. And you know all about the work that Every Home Crusade do, and we are looking forward to hearing a little more of that work on Tuesday night. So I trust you'll come, join with us, and the representatives of Every Home Crusade will be here on Tuesday night. There'll also be an offering lifted during that meeting, and that'll be a way that you can practically help and support that tremendous work that they do. Friday night, no youth fellowship, but our presbytery meeting is on in Cookstown this Friday night for our elders at 8 o'clock. Next Sunday, we have our two main services, 11:30 and 6:30, and the Sunday schools as well, 10:15 here in Sandown, 2:30 over in Redburn. I'll be here to lead both meetings. In the morning time, Adam will be preaching, and I'll be preaching in the evening time, God willing. And hopefully, our sister Helen McGill will be here to sing next Sunday night. Do continue to remember all who need our prayers. Pray that the Lord will draw near and touch them and strengthen them at this time. We would ask you to pray for a young lad who comes to our youth fellowship. He fell, he broke his arm on Friday, and he's having an operation tomorrow on that. So I want you to remember Riley. He's one of the young lads that got saved last year in the Sunday school in Redburn. And so do remember Riley in your prayers, please. As we said as well, do remember the Walkinshaw family as they mourn and grieve the death of Mrs. Walkinshaw, and pray that the Lord would draw near to them at this time. On Thursday, the 10th of November, we have a special visit from the Reverend John Wagner. Looking forward to having God's servant, tremendous Bible teacher, and we pray the Lord will bless him as he comes. So remember that, please. That's Thursday, the 10th of November at 8 o'clock. I will be moving the prayer meeting to the Thursday night instead of the Tuesday night just for that week. We have a remembrance service on Sunday, the 13th of November, God willing, and then our seniors fellowship lunch on Saturday, the 3rd of December, and the men's night out on Saturday, the 3rd of December as well. Do remember the shoebox appeal. If you can help in any way, that certainly would be appreciated, and we'd love you to encourage others to help as well, as we seek to help those in our local community, not only in a practical way, but also by way of the many different gospel literature that we will put into each shoebox. So this will be a means of you not only helping these people by whatever needs they may have, but also seeking to get the gospel to them. And every shoebox that is handed out will have the gospel in it as well. So if you can help, that would certainly be appreciated. We need all the shoeboxes brought back into the church here for the end of November, please. The offering boxes are available there as you leave. And we make all these announcements as always subject to the will of the Lord. Let's sing another hymn before we come to God's word tonight, 305. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain. 305, we'll stand to change our positions, please. Let's stand to sing. One of your favourites, Jim, isn't it? Takes you back to your old BB days. Let's turn to the Word of God, to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. I want to look this evening in the Gospel at the subject of lovers of darkness. And we have this little phrase in John 3, verse 19, and men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness rather than light. Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to His Word for this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for that anchor that we have for our souls. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the one who has entered within the veil. We praise Thee, O God, tonight that that anchor is sure and it is steadfast. And, O God, we thank Thee tonight for each one that's anchored in Christ. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight for each one whose faith is sure in Him, whose sins are forgiven. And, O God, we pray that even tonight, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the Gospel, Lord, that You'll bring others, Lord, to be anchored in Christ tonight. Lord, take them away, O God, from those sinking sands, Lord, of this old world. O God, bring them to Christ tonight. We ask, O God, that You would be pleased to write Thy Word upon hearts, move in this place. Pour your Spirit upon us, Lord, as we look into the Word of God. Give us help tonight, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy name would be lifted on high. And Lord, that Thy kingdom tonight will be extended. So hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We have certainly come into the darker and much longer nights now that the clocks have turned back. And it's never that nice time of the year, really. We prefer the long days of summer. But this time of the year is also associated not with just actual darkness, but also with superstition and the darkness that is made little of and embraced by so many. Of course, I refer to, and I mean, the sinful and wicked celebrations of what is termed Halloween. And it is really quite staggering to see how families, parents, and young children believe that all the celebration of this evil and wickedness is something to be joyed in, something to joke about, joking about ghosts and ghouls and all sorts of evil madness. And you know the way some houses are decorated at this time of the year, they would scare the life out of you if you walked past them. But another matter for consideration, of course, at this time, on this Sunday especially, is the remembrance of the great Protestant Reformation of 1517, when there was that awakening and that revival out of darkness through the works of Luther and many other of the reformers. That work then carried on in generations later by the Puritans. All who sought to overcome the darkness, the spiritual darkness of their age and their generation, because it was a time in Europe of great darkness and departure across many nations. The spiritual darkness of the pre-Reformation times was deep, it was dramatic, and while we think that things are bad today, yet they are nothing compared to the times that the reformers lived through and witnessed. But all of this just goes to illustrate and to demonstrate the point that throughout all the history of humanity, of all mankind, mankind male and female, young and old, that all are lovers of darkness. Now I would venture to say that there's not too many here tonight that love the physical darkness, who love the long, dreary, dark nights of winter. It is a big change from the long days of summer. But these dark nights, I don't think, are loved by too many. Yet when we come into the spiritual realm, it's the exact opposite. Because our text reminds us in verse 19 that men are lovers of darkness rather than light. You see, tonight we have a world that loves spiritual darkness. And surely we see that all throughout the year, but especially at this time of the year. And tonight, for those in this meeting out of Christ, not saved, having rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you are counted amongst these people. You are a lover of darkness, spiritual darkness. You have repelled and rejected the light of the world, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, because you love the darkness of your sin. And so tonight, it is this statement of the Lord Himself that we want to consider. Men love darkness rather than light. As we think about the darkness, I want you to see, first of all, there's the problem of darkness. The problem of darkness. Look at verse 19. When the Lord says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, He wasn't commending them for this love, but rather He was rebuking them for their love of darkness. He was speaking truth, but He was most certainly condemning them because of their love of darkness, because of man's love for the things of sin, the things of spiritual darkness and depravity. The truth of John 3:19 is played out in our lives and across our nation all the time. Men loving darkness rather than light. They love the darkness of witchcraft. They love the darkness of all the satanic goings on of this time of the year. Men love darkness. And by the way, it is not innocent fun to celebrate Halloween. It is wicked and sinful in its very, very origins. But it's because of men's love of darkness, rather than light, they love the sinful agenda of this world. The sodomite lobby, those who push for abortion, the murder of little infants, those who push for the rights of those who would react against the way God made them. It's all because of man's love for darkness. Why did the years before the Protestant Reformation become so dark and hostile to the gospel? It was because of what we read in John 3:19, man's love of darkness rather than light. His love for sin, his hatred of the light of the gospel. But notice some things about the problems of this darkness. Because I want you to look back to the opening verses of John chapter 3, because really what we have in John chapter 19 is a continuation of this dialogue that has taken place at the commencement of John 3, where we are introduced by the man named Nicodemus. And the Lord brings before Nicodemus some of the problems of the darkness of his mind. In verse 3 and verse 5, John chapter 3 and verse 5, John chapter 3 and verse 3, sorry, Jesus answered and said unto him, that is Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In verse 3, there's a problem. It's the problem of a darkened mind. You cannot see the kingdom of God. How true that is. The natural unconverted man will never see the way to heaven on his own. You see, sinner, if you were left to your own devices, you would never be saved. You would drift on helplessly and hopelessly on the sea to destruction. You need the compass of the Holy Spirit to guide you aright. You cannot see. You have a darkened mind. You're in total darkness and blackness, and you need new light. The light that is revealed in the God of the Scriptures. God who shows us the way. God who has revealed to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do you need light, but you also need sight. You can bring a blind man into a dark room, switch on the light, that man will never see unless he has got new sight. So yes, there may be light, but there needs to be sight. And that's one of the problems of mankind by nature. There is this darkened mind. But not only is there the problem of a darkened mind, but in verse 5, we have the problem of a disabled will. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To enter into something, it requires an activity, an action to take place. Because sinners are bound to sin, because sinners are held in sin, and we'll look at that a little more, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot be saved by your own efforts. You can do nothing to save yourself. This world, of course, will create many inventions, many ways that man's conscience can be appeased to make peace with God, but all of them will be futile because no man left to themselves can enter into the kingdom of God. No man by their own efforts can be saved. Sinner, you need a new mind because the natural one is darkened. You need a new heart because the natural one is deceived. You need a new will because the natural one is disabled. And you need a new birth because the natural one condemns you. And oh, that tonight you would realize that you have a problem. That you would realize that that problem cannot be resolved by yourself. You cannot see. You cannot enter. That's the problem of darkness. Listen to the words of Solomon. In Proverbs 4:19, he says, "The way of the wicked is as a darkness, and they know not at what they stumble." The way of the wicked is as a darkness. They know not at what they stumble, because they cannot see and they cannot enter. There is this problem. This world tonight believes that they're finding their own way, finding their own path through life, but they stumble through. Being led all the time by the master of sin, Satan himself. They don't know the way. They're darkened to the danger that they're in. The sinner tonight is in total darkness because of that total domination of sin. There's the problem of darkness, the problem of sin. But not only is there the problem of darkness, come back into verse 19, and we see now there's the preference for darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light. Darkness is man's first choice. The darkness of sin, spiritual darkness, all the forces of hell and evil is man's go-to, because he prefers the darkness rather than the light. And this darkness is preferred to the light of Christ. The ways of this world are preferred by man more, much more than the ways of God. Why is that? Well, that is, first of all, because of the captivity of sin. Back in the 1960s, there was a film produced based on the real-life events of a few couples in Kenya, in Africa, and they reared a lioness. Her name was Elsa. And Elsa was orphaned as a lion cub. And these couples sought to raise this lion cub in their own dwellings. And then after 2 years, Elsa was released back into her own natural environment. But the title of that film and the book that documented it as well was entitled Born Free. And you know, born free is why many people think they are born. People think they are free to do what they want. People born into this world think they're just like that lioness of that film those years ago, that they're born free. None of us are born free. We're all born in bondage. Born in captivity. We're brought into captivity because of what happened way back in the Garden of Eden. We're all born in the bondage and the captivity of sin. You think about Nicodemus. That is referred to in the earlier part of this chapter. He's the perfect illustration and example of this. He couldn't grasp the light of the gospel. That even Christ himself declared to him, born when I am old. What does that mean? He couldn't get it, because he had a nature that was darkened, a nature that was depraved, a nature that was bound and captive to sin. That's why men love darkness rather than light. That's why man tonight loves their sin. That's why sinners do not want to leave their sin, because they prefer it rather ways of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking about his own ministry and the ministry of those who would seek to preach the gospel, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken in heart, sent me to preach deliverance to" who? "To the captives, and recovering sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." He came to preach the gospel to the captives, to we who are born captive in our sin. In John's gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaks about the truth, and the truth of the gospel making you free, or setting you free. And if you have to be set free, it clearly states then that you are in bondage. You're held to sin. And sinner, because of your sin, you're bound to your sin and you prefer the ways of God. You prefer the ways of sin rather than the ways of God. Christ said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. There's the preference for darkness because of the captivity of sin. But we see this preference as well in the consequences of sin. Because of this captivity, because of the preference to sin, there are consequences. Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's the explanation of sin. We've all come short. The extent of sin, all have sinned. And the end of sin brings forth death. But look at this, these consequences, especially in verse 19. Verse 19, at the very end, it says, because their deeds were evil. We choose sin because we're sinners. That's why tonight this world is running after sin. That's why tonight there's a hatred and a hostility to the things of God, to the preaching of the gospel. Darkness will always repel and react against the light of the gospel. Because you do not like the light. Because their deeds were evil. The preference for darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Why are men and women not saved? Why are young people not saved? Because they'd rather have the things of sin. They'd rather have the ways of this world than the things of God. There's the preference for this darkness. There's the problem of this darkness. But I want you to see as well that there is the product of this darkness. Look at verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil. Everyone that doeth evil. You see, you're in this meeting without Christ. You prefer darkness to the light of the gospel. And because of that, you are a doer of evil. That's how it works out in your life. You do evil. You live your life in rebellion to God. In the darkness of your sin. You think of all the evil acts that are carried out. You think of the works of sin that take place and how often, how many of them take place under the cloak of darkness. Men and women brutally cut off and cut down in the darkness. Think of the events even in our own province, in the years of the troubles. It was in the hours of darkness that evil and wicked men carried out their evil acts. Look at verse 20, how it continues. He that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Sinner, you won't come to Christ, lest you be found out. Lest your evil ways would be uncovered and revealed. You want to continue in your sin. You want to remain in your sin. You want to live in your sin. You don't want your sin to be found out. Lest your deeds should be reproved. You see, the gospel makes your sin a reality. Christ, the light of the world, shows up your sin, your life, for what it is worth. The gospel tonight shows that you are a sinner, that you're held in your sin, that you're lost in your sin, that you're dead in your sin, and that you will die and go to hell because of your sin. You hate the gospel tonight. You hate the things of God. You despise it. You might sit in this church, look respectable, look all right, but deep down you have no time for God. And Christ is hated because sin is loved. Lest you should be reproved, lest you be found out. And how many people are so near the kingdom, and yet because of a fear, they don't want their way, their sham of life to be found out. They continue on in the darkness of their sin. Back in verse 19, brings us to the reality of those who continue in sin, those who live in sin. Verse 19 talks about condemnation. Condemnation. There are those tonight who will tell us that it's not until you get before God on that day of judgment that you'll be condemned. On that day, sinner, you'll be damned in a lost eternity. But you're condemned already. You're lost in your sin already. And the wrath of God, the judgment of God already abides on your head because of your darkness and your preference for sin. And because of your love for sin, you're under the wrath of God. And you're condemned. Condemned. And oh, that tonight you would just realize that as you sit in this meeting without Christ, you're only a step from hell. Only a heartbeat away from a lost eternity, because already you're condemned. Because of your preference for evil and because of your actions in doing evil, in rejecting the gospel of Christ. Do you know the greatest evil that a man or woman, young person, older person can ever carry out? It's not murder or any such wicked action. The greatest evil that any man or woman ever does is the rejection of Jesus Christ. To reject Him is to reject life. To reject Jesus Christ is to reject hope. Oh, that tonight you wouldn't reject Him. Oh, that tonight in the darkness of your sin, you wouldn't turn away from Him, but that tonight you'd rather come to Him. Because as we finish this evening, we see not only the problem of darkness here, the preference of it, the product of it, but finally there's the prevailing over darkness. The prevailing over darkness. What's the answer to the darkness of man's soul? What's the answer tonight for the darkness that you find yourself in if you're here without Christ? Well, look at verse 21. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Here's how the darkness of your sin can be removed and prevailed over. He that doeth truth and cometh to the light. Look at the language of verse 21. Doeth truth. It means to obey truth. It means to believe the truth. And what is the truth that is spoken of here? It's the only truth that the Scriptures ever speak about, and that is the truth of God's Word, the truth of the Gospel. The sinner that believes the lie that God will not punish sin, the sinner that believes the lie that there is no God, that there is no eternity, that there is no hell, you're not doing truth, as many people will claim they are. You're doing evil. But the truth of the Word of God tonight tells us that we are by nature sinners, and that from our sin there is a Savior. And His name is Jesus. Doeth truth. I wonder tonight, will you come to obey the truth of the gospel? Oh, that you would come tonight and your eyes might be opened by the Holy Spirit to believe the truth, to believe the gospel. You say, I do believe. Then why are you still in your sin? This land is still plagued with religious hypocrites coming and going from churches, doing good acts, and yet all the time rejecting the truth of the gospel because they love their sin and will not come to the truth of the Word of God. You need to obey the truth. He that doeth truth, but look at verse 21 again, cometh to the truth. You need not only to obey it, to believe it, but you need to come. Don't stay where you are. Don't remain in your sin. Don't remain lost tonight, but come to Christ. Because it's only through Him. It's only through Him that your darkness can be overcome. Because remember, there's another darkness that is spoken of in the Scriptures, and it's the darkness of Calvary. When during those 3 hours, between the sixth and the ninth hour, when this world was plunged into darkness, why? Because Jesus Christ, there on the cross of Calvary, was made sin for us. He endured the darkness of hell. He took our sin. He endured the wrath and the penalty of our sin. During those hours of darkness, He was cut off. Yet He prevailed over darkness because light came. Christ cried, "It is finished." And the work of redemption was complete. That's why tonight there is a prevailing over darkness, but it's only through Jesus Christ. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me. Thank God tonight the blood of Jesus Christ can remove every trace of sin, and the light of the world who is Christ can remove the darkness. If you will do the truth, obey the truth, come to the truth, that His deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We live in a dark world. We live in a dark society. But thank God tonight the answer is still the same. It's Jesus Christ. He still dispels the darkness of sin. Oh, will you come to Him tonight? Will you leave your burden of sin? Will you acknowledge that before God you are a sinner? Will you believe the truth of the gospel tonight? Not just with your head, but with your heart, and cry unto the Lord. Lord, save me. Will you do the truth tonight rather than doing evil? Don't live on in sin anymore. Don't reject the ways of God any longer. Don't live in the darkness of your sin tonight. Come. Come to the light. Come to Christ. Will you come to Him tonight? Oh, that you would be a lover of Christ rather than a lover of darkness. Let's bow.